Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys, happy Friday. Dukes and Bell. And it's funny because Cleet says, man, I'm not telling a man to do what to do with his money, Mike. But it's interesting to see if Colin Kaepernick, you know, give some of that money to his causes, is what you said a little bit earlier.
Look, he can do whatever he wants, and if it's as much money as it's reported to be, or at least refuted to be, I mean, $60 million, $80 million. All I'm saying is, and I just tweeted it, look, the man is an icon now to some. You see the seven jerseys everywhere. He's become an agent for change. I told Carl, if you missed it last break, I said, look, you want to be an agent for change? You think there's people in the NFL that have a racist agenda or they have an agenda about you and your social stance? Put them on the record. Let's hear what they said. Stick it to the man. Expose the whole thing. He took the 30 pieces of silver, bro. We'll never know.
No, and I think he was attempting to do that. I don't know. This is what we'll never know. I just had a feeling that we weren't going to find this out anyway. I really do. Regardless of if this settlement happened now or if it would have happened right after the testimony, you know, again, it's set to go to. Don't you find it interesting? Think about this for a second. That you got the Kareem Hunt stuff out there, and the NFL, everybody's banging him, right? Mike and I, and you guys know how we feel about Roger Goodell. Everybody's banging him. And now all of a sudden, the NFL, we don't need another one. Let's go ahead and cut the check.
Right.
Just think about that. It may not have nothing to do with it, Mike, but I do find it curiously interesting that this is where we've been, and the NFL's on the verge of taking another huge black eye because, again, you don't do this unless you have evidence.
Right.
And now, let's cut the check. Let's just be done with this. So for as much as you want to put this on Cap, and by the way, as I said, I don't think he was playing again. If you're just joining us, NFL settles with Colin Kaepernick in his collusion case.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he was going to ever play again. So this was the money he was going to make. And if you say, well, I guess it was the last 2 years.
Right.
Because he hadn't played, I guess it was 16 was the last year, I think it was, that he actually
16
played.
16 was the last, and then Gabbert was in there
That's
for a
right.
little bit too. No, my thing was, and look, for guys, I don't know how much you listen to the show. Carl and I, we had a real open-minded dialogue over this the last 3 years. Matter of fact, our show, we take every issue, political, we stay in our lane, obviously, but when politics and sports or social issues intersect, we take everything on a case-by-case basis. And I said for years, regardless, and I was arguing with people, you and I were talking about it, the dude, if you want to add it up, between touchdowns in the air and on the ground, that's 85 touchdowns in 60 starts.
Still could play.
You know, and you then look at the guys that were holding jobs as backups and even some guys that were starting on some of the bad teams, it's a no-brainer. You know, the fact that the last season the guy was in the NFL, he had 16 touchdowns in the air, 2 on the ground. I mean, that's 18 touchdowns. That's a lot better than Joey Slobotnik and some of these, like, mouth breathers that you've seen as backups in the NFL. So that's why, I mean, all I'm saying is I did take up for the athletic and the, you know, what can he bring to a team side of the equation, regardless of the team doesn't want to deal with the headache, if it's not a city where they would accept that or they don't want to deal with protests one way or the other.
Yeah, it just didn't wash, to your point. And you've said that for a while, you know, when you look at the production versus an opportunity to play. So with that said, man, we'll continue to dive into it. It's just interesting, dude. It just is. It's Dukes and Bell. Find us on Twitter again. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and this radio station, 929 The Game. Bo says if you want to go hear how we started this conversation at 2 o'clock, it is on the website because literally it broke around 2:20, and Mike and I, we dove right in because I think this is a little bit of a surprise from the standpoint of either way, whether you think that he should have taken this money or the NFL caving, because that's what happened.
Right.
The NFL caved. Now, I would ask you the question, why? Why would they do this on the verge of this being heard by an arbitrator? That's my question.
It's all out there, man. I mean, like I said, I would just love everybody now, because this would make it 10 times worse, because now you got guys like us, sports talkers, columnists. Who's the owner? Who was the general manager? Who was the guy that, you know, gave them the smoking gun that the NFL did not want to be heard in open, again, in the proceeding when the record, I presume, would be out there?
Boy, and I hope we do find out, by the way. It may be weeks from now. But I hope we find out ultimately what the real deal is. With that, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, who's the favorite to land A.B.? That's Antonio Brown, that is. Not Anthony, that's his brother. Antonio Brown, Cardinals cornerback, Patrick Peterson, says that he's been keeping an eye on Antonio Brown, and that the Steelers are expected to try to trade him soon. The odds makers have even said that the Cardinals were first in the odds, plus 450 odds, to land Brown, and that he'll be playing for them in week one.
Oof.
By the way, here are the other odds if you're interested. Potential landing spots: 49ers, Dolphins, plus 550, Packers, Colts, plus 700, Raiders, plus 900, Steelers keeping Brown plus 500.
Wow.
Now you are a gambling guru, Mike. Would you explain that to our listeners who don't understand plus 500?
Okay, you're going to you put 500 down, or you put 100, you're going to win 500 when it's plus, and when it's minus and it's a very odds on favorite, for instance, you would have to bet 200 to win 100 if it's minus 200. So plus, you bet 100, basically it's 5 to 1. You're getting 5 to 1 odds and he's going to sign with that team.
Yeah. So, listen, I don't know how much friendships matter in this when you talk about like guys like Patrick Peterson. All these guys want to make their team better. You know, when a guy is disgruntled, you know, you immediately see guys tweeting and sending out social media messages. Hey, come here, come here.
Right.
It happened with the Honey Badger when he left and everybody's like, hey, come here. So I don't know how much that plays, but the Cardinals, a landing spot for him?
Doesn't the Jets just – I know that it's funny because the Jets are always famous for doing stuff like this. They'll go and get a guy. You know, generally, they get guys that are washed up at the end of their career and they overpay. But the Jets have got the most cap space next to only the Colts. And certainly, if you put like you look at a – man, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown with Andrew Luck. Jeez Louise. But anyway, I look at the teams that have the most money out there. And that's why if you looked at – you know, imagine, just for argument's sake, what about Le'Veon Bell with the Texans?
Ooh.
Lamar Miller is what he is.
Ooh.
He's not isn't he like the walking 75 yards for fantasy owners?
Yes, he is.
I mean, imagine Le'Veon Bell. Make that offensive line look a little bit better than it is, or they'd probably still have to beat that up too.
Yeah, listen.
Texans have the fourth most cap space right now, according to SpotRack.
Boy, that would change a lot for Deshaun Watson if he got that kind of running game. It just would. And then you got that other guy out there, DeAndre on the outside.
Right.
Woo! Listen, the big-name free agents, and we've talked about this, when the league opens up March 13th and free agency officially starts, those guys are going to be – the big names are going to come off the board fairly quickly because the teams with the most cap space, Mike, are going to address their needs. The other place is what? The Colts have a lot of cap space as well.
You're right. They're the number one team right now. Now, again, more of some of these numbers are confusing because when the NFL calendar year begins in March, you'll see even more cap space be created. That's why we don't look like we've got that much. We have $40 million. We're right just above average in the middle of the pack are the Falcons.
It is our NFL Blitz segment, guys. Here's what's funny about the Kaepernick story. This is a side note now that this settlement has happened. But, Mike, did you hear this story about the AAF reaching out to Cap?
Saw it last night, and, man, he had a price. He had a number in his mind, if you believe what the reports are saying, $20 million to go play for those guys.
Yeah.
Which is probably more than the entire league is worth right now.
I was going to say that's probably – he probably outpriced himself.
Right.
But that's the Alliance of American Football League. And Bill Polian, who's the co-founder, and you guys know Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, he said that they got a chance to speak with Cap and asked him about his interest in the league. And basically, you know, all players get the same, basically, contract. You know, the non-guaranteed contracts were $250,000. You can look it up. Some guys are making some decent money. We talked about the coaches' salaries the other day. I think some of these coaches, like Spurrier, they're getting $500,000. But not $20 million. Not to play in that league that just started up, and you got week two Saturday and Sunday.
And you and I were talking about this off the air. What if he goes and he struggles? Then that devalues him tremendously. What if he goes and he balls out? Yeah, you're going up against scrubs who could make the NFL. So to me,
it
doesn't really do anything for you.
No, I agree. And I was saying that to Bo this morning. If he plays and plays well, he's not playing anybody. I'm with you, Mike. Hey, what do you make of this NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, potentially not giving any thought to the inquiries by the NFL owners saying that, what do you think about coming and running our league?
You see how the NBA handles issues, social issues? You see how the NBA handles discipline?
Completely different.
Yeah, it's called consistency, and it's called leadership, something Roger Goodell wouldn't know if it hit him in the butt. But, yeah, there's obviously a couple of owners, and we were saying this yesterday. Who would the owner, what would be that cabal of NFL owners who want to push Goodell out and make overtures to Silver, who, of course, was a longtime assistant to David Stern, and really gets it and has the fastest-growing professional sports league right now in the U.S.? I just love to know who's the owners driving the bus on that, if it's true.
Yeah, it is. And, by the way, I don't think this happens. We said it yesterday. Adam Silver does a great job. This weekend is kind of their showcase weekend, obviously, with the All-Star game. It's in Charlotte this weekend. But I'm not leaving the NBA to go run the NFL. And I know that sounds crazy to some folks, but the sport is growing like crazy. So I find it fascinating that the NFL owners, or at least some of them, Mike, already have a guy in mind. Right. It's one thing to go, we want this guy out, but to already have a guy in mind?
Who's the best commissioner right now? Rob Manfred's doing some good things. At least he's thinking.
It's Bettman. Bettman.
I don't care what Conte says. Gary Bettman is the biggest.
It's Bettman.
Clown in two.
He's terrific.
You know what? Gary Bettman should wear clown shoes when he comes out. But anyway, no, getting back to
Silver, by the way.
Silver and Manfred are guys that realize they've got to change and the sport's got to evolve. Now, the NBA, they're printing money right now, but the way he relates to the players. Players in the NBA respect him because they know where he stands. Where Roger Goodell makes up stuff as he goes along, people have no idea what he's doing, including the owners.
Yeah, it's true. It's our NFL Blitz segment, guys. Coming up, you're going to hear from Dave O'Brien. Now, Dave joined us late in the show yesterday as we had a great conversation about pitchers and catchers reporting today. Mm-hmm. What are our Braves going to do, and when are they going to do it? And Dave basically laid out to us their conversation. It was Dave O'Brien and Jeff Schultz from The Athletic who had a conversation right. with Terry McGuirk and our general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, about this. So you'll hear our conversation with Dave coming up here in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, man, because we're trying to get some answers and trying to get a little clarity on just it seemed like they're trying to give you a little misdirection on why we're not spending more money, especially when the rest of the National League East is really making moves. All right, from Kyle Van Noy, interesting comments on Pardon My Take.
Okay.
If you didn't hear about this, and you and I were saying, let's be real, Sean McVay not looking like such a big genius, you know, after the Super Bowl. He tells the guys on the show, Van Noy, that they couldn't believe it, the Rams defense, that they didn't make any adjustments. The Rams, he says, they really didn't do one wrinkle. I was like, what the hell? They've got so many good players. They've got so many things they've done all year. And the one play they gave us, which was a wrinkle, was the Brandon Cooks screen that hit for a little bit, and that was it. Remember, they had Brandon Cooks open, and Goff didn't see him in time. He goes on to say that they were just surprised how McVay just was not dialing up things to kind of combat the new looks they were throwing the Rams.
Wow.
And remember, hey, they still say Todd Gurley's healthy.
Right.
And that's on McVay, how we only get him 10 running plays and 11 touches.
Like, I just won't ever believe that. I mean, the guy was so dominant during the season, and you get in these playoffs, and you reuse him sparingly. And at this point, the game is over. You lost. Why not just tell the truth? I mean, if that was the case, so if you're still going to maintain that Todd Gurley was healthy, shame on you, Sean McVay, for not getting one of your best playmakers more involved in that game plan.
Right.
Period.
I'm with you. I mean, because if you get fined by the NFL because you were fudging the injury report, that's one thing. Because, like, if he goes out, like, who would be surprised if in the next week Todd Gurley gets his knee cleaned up or something? But that would at least give you an out. It would make a hell of a lot more sense about the way you used him.
Yeah. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And again, if you're just joining us as we talk about NFL Blitz and going around the National Football League, lots of people chiming in. The NFL settles its collusion case. All right. It was set to go to an arbitrator this month with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Now, we haven't mentioned Eric Reid because Cap has kind of been the face of this, but Eric Reid is also a part of this. And so he just signed a new 3-year deal with Carolina. So. Lots of people chiming in, and we appreciate that. I do want to read one of these comments from one guy, and he says, Dukes, Bell, says everything changes. For me, you know, when you look at this, Cap is selling out. He got paid from Nike, and I think this is what you mentioned, Mike. And then he says, you know, to take the money means that he did it for the money. And my response to that is, what was he giving up? What was Cap giving up? The public perception now is he won. That's the public perception. And as I said, I don't think he was playing in the NFL anymore anyway. But if you want to pursue these efforts moving forward, right, whatever you've started, whatever you think this is with Cap, he can continue to do that now that this is behind him. I don't necessarily see it that way, but I understand how some people could.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, whether you think, I mean, some guys now, it's a great conspiracy theory that a number of people are putting out on social media that this was a work from the jump. That's why he bailed out of the 49er deal. Well, I tell you what, it's the greatest calculated risk in the history of professional sports.
No doubt.
For this one. But at the end of the day, that's why I would love to hear somebody sit down with him and, like, how much did you want to play? How much money were you asking for that priced you out of the job? Because there's so, that's why my one point, Carl, there's so much conflicting information. Teams saying he was asking for the moon and the stars. The $20 million offer for the AFFFA kind of shows you that it was a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. The Ravens were the closest team to getting him to sign on the line. And so what did owners say? Was there a lot of conversation? We'll never know, at least until somebody leaks it.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not going to tell you he didn't price himself out by asking for an obscene amount of money. I can't tell you that. I don't know. Only him and his agent know. But in the NFL, there's a market value, and that market's based on what other quarterbacks are getting. I don't care how good you think you are. You're not getting what other guys are not getting. So to me, that makes no sense at all. It's Dukes and Bell. We had a chance to visit with Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. He wrote a great piece in regards to our Braves. Today, pitchers and catchers reporting. And the first thing we asked him was, what you got from Terry McGuirk and Alex Anthopoulos? Do you believe what they said is exactly what will happen? Will there be any more spending?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit got lost in the translation. And I say that in that it wasn't as bad, I don't think, as it came across in print. Because I read it, and when I read it, it was like, okay, that felt, I can understand where fans would read that and go, you know, this is BS. But I get a sense, and see, and there was also stuff said off the record. Mm-hmm. That because Alex is very, very close to the vest when it comes to trades. He doesn't want teams knowing how much are they willing to spend. Are they looking to add? Do they need to add? He doesn't want teams to know anything. You know, he thinks it gives him an advantage for other teams to guess. Do the Braves really need this guy? Or will they raise their offer? That kind of thing. So anyway, there was I came away thinking, feeling that. If they get a good deal this spring, I mean, a reasonable deal this spring, they'll take it. I mean, they're ready to spend, you know, for instance, if they could get Dallas Keuchel at 3 years for $14 million a year, I think they'd do it in a heartbeat. So if his price comes down to that, I don't think it will. I think there's probably another team that'll give him a little bit more than that. And I think that's the uppermost the Braves will go to.
Right.
And I know that frustrates fans because they go, well, why don't I give him 3 years and $18 million a year? But Alex will not do a deal that he doesn't think is a good one. I mean, if he thinks he's paying too much for a guy, giving up too much for a guy in a trade, signing a guy for too many years, he won't do it. He's done this long enough that he's confident that the market will come back to him enough that he can fill the needs they have. And the other thing is he's really confident in the guys they have, the young guys they have. They really putting a lot of, and he said it, because maybe we're guilty of liking our prospects too much or our young guys too much, but we really like them. So they are ready to spend some money. They just aren't ready as eager to, or as ready to do it to satisfy fans, because fans would wanted it done, you know, a lot earlier. They've been sitting around, and I understand they've been sitting around all winter waiting for something to happen. Whereas, you know, from Alex Anthopoulos' point of view, he doesn't care if it happens in November or December or January. As long as it happens, you know, if it happens 2 weeks from now, he'll give the guy plenty of time to get incorporated into the system and get ready for the season. So it doesn't matter one bit if it happens 2 weeks from now or if it happened in November to him. If he gets the deal that he wants, that's all that matters. They got this thing mapped out, how much they're willing to spend this year, next year, where they want to get with the payroll, and every little move plays into that, and they don't want to get tied up with a guy on a 5-year contract if they think in the last 2 years of that deal he won't be very good and it'll start going downhill. You know, a team like the Yankees can afford to do that, can afford to take risks. Dodgers, Cubs, with the teams with a lot of revenues, and I know people don't like hearing that either, but big revenue teams can afford to take bigger gambles and pay for those guys to go away and fill that gap with more money if they need to. The Braves don't feel like they can do that because they're going to stay within these parameters of their budget.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Dave, because, you know, Dave O'Brien, by the way, from The Athletic, you got to read the article with him and Schultz talking to Alex Anthopoulos and Braves president Terry McGuirk. It's just, you know, in the, it's brought up in the article when, you know, Terry says last spring, you know, there'll be very few teams that have as much to spend in the marketplace next winter, you know, as the Braves. And so I get your point that is you're going to wait for the market to soften, and maybe that's a Dallas Keuchel, a Craig Kimbrell, and then we'll all be happy and we get to rock and roll when the season starts. It's just when you win the division, Dave, there's that expectation level. You build on that because now the time is now.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think, and the other thing is he will not make counter moves. It doesn't matter to him what the Phillies and the Mets and the Nationals are doing. They're going to do their thing. If the division is better than it was a year ago, then you might be as good or better a team and finish 10 games out of first place if the other teams are healthy. You know, if the Nationals stay healthy and the Phillies stay healthy, especially if the Phillies get Bryce Harper and he bounces back and has a season like he had a couple of years ago, they got a formidable lineup with Real Muto in there and added to it. So I just thought, and I talked to Jeff about this before we went into the meeting, we were in agreement. I thought that the big thing they should have done is go out and get a starting pitcher. And Kluber was the guy to me. But if they're not going to trade Kluber, they're not going to trade him. And, you know, the Cleveland made all this him and Holland early on. They made it sound like they were going to trade, you know, Kluber and Bauer. And, you know, any of those three guys. Well, the fact of the matter is once they traded one of them, they kind of put that out there so that they could trade one of them and start getting rid of a little bit of payroll because that's all they wanted to do. They didn't care which one of them it was. But once they did, they really didn't make those other guys available without it being an exorbitant price. So that's what I thought was, you know, frustrating is that I thought they really need to add a frontline starting pitcher. And Keuchel is not as good as Kluber, obviously, but Keuchel's still good. You know, if he pitches the way he did, especially 2 years ago, he was still an ace. I mean, a top five in the league type guy. So if they could get Keuchel, whether he's one or two, he's better than everybody on the team except maybe Fulte.
That's true.
If Fulte improves on last year, okay. But other than that, he's better. It allows you to slot everybody else down one spot or lower. You could also trade Tehran if you want to, and you know, if you could get somebody to take this out. And then, because if you don't, you're going to block one of the young guys, and they've got like four or five legit young guys competing for one spot as it is. But I just think they would be a lot better team if they had another starter rather than Fulte that you can count on going out there and giving you a real good chance to win every time he goes out there.
Yeah,
and,
going deep into games. I don't disagree.
And your payroll, if you added Kluber, for instance, you're not going to be able to get him, but if you had a Keuchel at $17 million, which is Kluber's salary, and they're splitting hairs because technically they say the payroll is going to go up if they make the moves now or they make them in the middle of the season. Because if they did like they did last year in July, they traded for two guys.
We're talking Braves guys, and we're talking about the article O'Brien and Jeff Schultz put out in The Athletic. I want to shift gears real quick. I agree with you about the starting pitcher, but what about the bullpen? Dave Dombrowski came out, the GM of the Reds, and basically said, we're happy internally with our closing options, which means they will not pay Craig Kimbrell. Are the Braves at all interested? And what are they planning on doing with the closer's position, or at least how do they feel about the bullpen?
They like the bullpen. They like the depth. They like the bullpen more than most people like the bullpen. They think they have a lot more depth than they had a year ago, with some guys being healthy that got worn out in their first full season. And there were quite a few of them. Like early on, Winkler was really good. Carl was really good. You had O'Day. You know, if Aroldis Vizcaino is healthy, but that's a huge if. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And entering his second season should be a lot better. I mean, he was good, really good at times. So, that's another thing is I thought this, if you can have a lights out closer, it just really solves so much because it allows you to move those other guys into setup spots, and your bullpen becomes so much tougher. If Vizcaino and Mentor are all of a sudden the matchup setup guys, then seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, you're really tough. Sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. So, and if you're not going to get a frontline starter, then beefing up the bullpen is the other way to do that. And then all of a sudden, you're only asking your starters to go five or six innings, and your bullpen can get it the rest of the way. But they will not go. My understanding, just from everything I hear,
right,
talking to them, they won't say specifically. They won't go 4 or 5 years on Kimbrell at $15, $16 million a year. I don't think they're going to do it. I think the most they, again, would go with him probably is 3 years, and I don't know. I'm guessing, but probably, I don't even know if they'd go $15 million with him. So they have some questions about, you know, his walk rate being up last year at the end of the year more than it ever was. And even though his numbers, overall numbers, were really strong still, he wasn't very impressive in the postseason at all. And, you know, if this is the start of a decline, then you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal, then you're stuck, you know, with a $15 million salary 4 years from now. And they don't want to get wrapped up in that. So that's where they are.
Dave, what is it that you wanted to add to that conversation we were having?
We're talking about them adding payroll. And I believe them when I do think they're fully prepared to add 20 to 25 million between now and the end of the season, which would get it up in the 130, in the mid 135, mid 130s range. The problem with that thinking is because Alex talks about there being different windows to spend in. There, the winter, the window now, July, August trades. Last year, they looked into trading for Machado. They looked into trading for Donaldson last year down the stretch. They were willing to take on the salaries. It's just they weren't going to give up the prospects ultimately that they were asking for those things. And they would do the same thing again, I think, this year, bring in a big starter closer down the stretch who's got, you know, $5 million left on a big salary.
Right.
Problem with that thinking, in my opinion, is that you can't be – you're not in a vacuum. You can't just act like Philly and Washington are not both getting better.
Right.
Because if those two teams play up to what their capabilities, especially if the Phillies get Harper, then in July you're not going to be looking to trade for a guy if you're 10 games out of first place.
Right.
So that's the thing. That's the flaw in that thinking. I understand what he's talking about and how they won't overpay now, and if they have to make trades later to get what they need, they'll do it. But you're not going to look to do that if you're 10 games out of first place. You're only going to make big trades like that if you're right in the race.
Right.
So.
And that's the thing, Dave. And like I said, and by the way, I'm not trying to be cynical. Just when I read it, I think it's an easy way for a general manager or a team president to play it. Well, we wanted this guy. And there's no way to prove that. They can throw it out there and the fans can be all excited that you tried and kicked the tires. And we'll never know if they ever came close to it. So I find that a bit disingenuous on their part.
Yeah. I mean, and I just think that, you know, with the other teams making the moves that they have in the division, that you have to be cognizant of that and not you know, make counter moves, but perhaps have a little more urgency in that if you're prepared to take the payroll up to the mid-130s like they say they are, and then in 140 a year from now, then go ahead and do that now. And if you have to slightly overpay for, you know, a Dallas Keuchel, maybe $1 million more a year than you wanted to, or $2 million more a year, then I think you have to do that.
Okay. Interesting. And it's valid because, again, I think you hear part of that conversation, and Dave O'Brien jumping back on with us here on Dukes and Bell, and you're right. Oh, we're going to spend, but then you get to the trade deadline, and as you said, if we're not in the mix, then all of a sudden we're not spending.
It's become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely. Right. So it is very flawed.
Last year they were right there. So all of a sudden they had no problem trading for, you know, Gausman, who was really big for him for a stretch there. He really helped him out. And then they got O'Day. They had to take his salary on to get Gausman without giving up prospects. But they say that they also wanted O'Day for this year, coming back healthy and all that. But and they went out and got Venters. They got DeVal. It didn't work out, but, you know, at the time it looked like they were at the power bat because he had good numbers in Cincinnati in the past. So, anyway, they made those moves because they were right in the thick of the race. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made those moves. And if you're 10 games out of first, if the Phillies and the Nationals are 10 games ahead of you in middle of July, then I really find it hard to believe you're going to spend a lot of money and bring on salaries if you're 10 games out of first place.
That's a great point.
And then you're going to end up with a payroll that was lower than last year.
Right.
You're going to be left to explain why it was.
Okay.
Hey, and by the way, I mean, how many hot dogs, how many steaks do I have to buy in the battery before we're not carrying this debt? And they can't hold that over Braves fans' heads.
They'll say nothing but rosy things about the projections and the results so far of the battery, but I mean, I'd hear different things because I know at least one restaurant, a couple of restaurants, one closed, at least one. I think two might have. You know, and it does booming business on game days.
Right.
And then on some big college football games, Super Bowl day. But man, you go down there on a regular old Thursday afternoon, it's a ghost town. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the cash cow they thought it was going to be. I don't know. I think it's too early. But if you're paying off the debt for it for years and years, it's like Jeff asked him yesterday, you have a tough time explaining that to fans why you
yes.
can't increase the payroll because you're paying off debt on this thing that you said was going to be, you know, the engine to drive the big payroll.
Guys, this is important stuff as we talk about our Braves and we get ready for pitchers and catchers, and obviously the season's right around the corner. As Dave O'Brien's outlining to us this conversation that he had with Terry McGuirk and Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager, because, again, we all want to see where our team is going to go. Real quick, I got to ask you this. We got about a minute. I want to ask you about that fifth starter. We talked about it. We got, you know, Folty and Gausman and, you know, Julio still there. Yes. Who's going to ultimately be that fifth starter? Is it Tuki Toussaint? How will they judge that in spring training? Or is it just that position, that fifth starter spot is up for grabs?
That's up for grabs.
Okay.
And I think the fifth starter is going to be better than the fourth starter if Tehran continues the trajectory he's been on. I mean, I think the fifth starter could end up being your third best starter. Or who knows? Maybe your second best. It's Soroka, when he was healthy last year, it was a very small sample size. But he was very impressive.
Okay.
And then Tuki Toussaint comes up, was very impressive. I think
right.
either of those guys could be a middle rotation guy in this rotation as it is right now.
That's our man, Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, breaking it down. Big article if you hadn't had a chance to get it on The Athletic, man. It's worth it with all the great writers here in Atlanta. Good news, by the way, Gajara apparently down a bat boy. They say he's lost like 40 pounds.
It's going to help him out, man. That was part of his issue, and it wasn't something that was well known, but the team wanted him to drop some pounds, Mike, and apparently he did. Hey,
by the way, no news dropping, by the way, Carl, on Bryce Harper. There
yes.
was reports. So much for those reports that said he was going to be a Philly by three.
Okay.
Maybe it's West Coast time.
Mike Conti next.
Very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Mike Conti brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics, from neck to toes, muscles and bones. Get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Hey, we've got the dog report coming up. Very interesting stuff from our own Deshaun Tate, who visited with the number one player that just signed with Georgia, Anthony Edwards. You'll hear some of that conversation coming up as part of our dog report, as we've been talking about dog basketball this week with Tom Crean's get of Anthony Edwards. What's going on, Mike Conti?
I'm glad you brought up Anthony Edwards. You ever wonder how these high school kids, whether they play football or basketball or whatever, how they get their star rating?
Yeah.
You know, this guy's a four-star wide receiver. This guy's a five-star defensive tackle. I've always kind of wondered that, too, because there's a lot of high school athletes out there. Who's the guy who's sitting around and evaluating all these people and giving really good players two-star ratings, and then they come back and they're the Super Bowl MVP, and they end up trolling the people that
right.
gave them the two-star rating? Well, there's a group of high school kids in Tennessee, and I thought what they did was brilliant. They created a fake Twitter profile for a guy named Blake Carragher, okay? And they claimed that Blake was a 6'6", 315-pound high school junior, offensive lineman, played ball up in Tennessee.
That sounds pretty impressive.
Yeah, right. And these kids, through the fake Twitter account, would occasionally tweet things from Blake saying, oh, yeah, blessed to get an offer from Georgia, or blessed to get an offer from Alabama,
right?
Blessed to get an offer from Florida. Well, someone at Rivals.com noticed that this Blake Carragher guy was getting all of these offers from big SEC schools. So they put up his name in the Rivals database. Three stars. He doesn't even exist.
Wow.
So Rivals gives him three stars. 24/7, which uses a composite of rankings from Rivals and ESPN and other places. They say they're cleaning this up now, by the way. They make him a three-star recruit. Then you have a guy with Knox News, I guess that's short for Knoxville, at Prep Extra, who puts out his top 10 recruits to watch for 2020. And Blake Carragher is on it. Now, remember, again, this kid does not exist. Then comes a East Tennessee high school football insider named Tyson Kellogg, who tweets that he's spoken to this guy and that he got an offer from Syracuse.
Phony!
And that if you need any more information about him, contact him, send him a DM. Now, I'm actually wondering if these kids that were perpetrating the prank
pretended
may have made that guy up as well.
Pretended to be the insider.
Doesn't have a lot of followers.
Dude, that's hysterical.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Were you here when Max Howell was on the radio in Atlanta years ago, Mike?
No, I was
Max,
not.
Max was a coach in college for years. Anyway, Chris Cotter and I used to prank him all the time.
We'd
come up, Carl, like, we're talking about Coach, the Jenkins kid from Muscle Shoals, the big tight end. He's leaning towards Alabama. Oh, he's a full qualifier.
No,
he's
right.
He's got big hands, big athletic kid.
I did a show.
He just run with it.
I did a show up in Pennsylvania with one of those recruiting gurus. And, like, people would call him all the time. Hey, have you heard of such and such? Yes, I've heard of him. He's got a vertical leap of this. And it was funny. Like, all of the schools that offered these kids were all the same. Yes, he has offers from Penn State, Virginia Tech, Pitt, and one SEC school, I think Vanderbilt.
Right.
Unanimously. Like, wow. This guy really knows a lot about a lot of high school kids from random areas. And I don't know if he was making it up, but I've always suspected.
Yeah.
But how about this?
Well, it's crazy, and I will tell you, because I come from the home of that. There is nothing crazier in the state of Texas than high school football.
No doubt.
And that stuff goes on a lot with misreporting, false reporting, kids not even existing, Mike. You talk about somebody, and all of a sudden you go, what school does he go to? And you're trying to find that information. It's not true.
Well, wasn't it recently when there was some, like, youth pastor or something like that who actually got Nick Saban's cell phone number?
And called him.
And called him and said, yeah, I got a kicker up in Happy Valley that you have to take a look at.
That's right.
And Saban's like, call my assistant. I'll take a look. Whatever. Right. I mean, this stuff does happen.
It does. That's funny, though.
For those kids in
Tennessee,
that's awesome. That is great
work.
They
got him.
They've got a bright future in pranking. All right. Before the Super Bowl, there was this businessman up in Gwinnett County who was accused of scamming a dozen people out of $750,000 by promising to sell them Super Bowl tickets and a VIP package.
Wow.
One of the alleged victims was his own mother. His mother decided not to press charges.
Oh, that's just low.
But she was one of the alleged victims. So this guy went and ghosted everyone in December. Left town. No one could get a hold of him. You know, obviously their tickets, whatever, they're gone. They finally caught this guy in California last week. His name is Ketan Shah. And Channel 2's done a lot of really good reporting about this. How did they get this guy? Now, remember, he's vanished for 2.5 months. Well, last week in California, he went to a spa at the Pechanga Resort and Casino, he and a girlfriend. And apparently, according to a San Diego television station, this guy, the alleged scammer, was rude and demanding to the spa clerk, a 19-year-old, demanded to cut in line. In fact, the clerk says he came in with his girlfriend just from the offset. He seemed a little bit different from the usual guest.
So he was conspicuous, very conspicuous.
Very conspicuous. So by acting a fool in the spa.
Acting a fool.
They called the cops to intervene to get this guy to calm down. And they realized as soon as they got there, this is the guy who's wanted in Gwinnett County.
What an idiot.
A wanted man.
I mean, the cops have been following this guy from Atlanta to Miami, Alabama, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, Las Vegas. They finally
got him. Oh, so he was having a good time.
No,
yeah. Probably on these poor people's
minds.
Allegedly. Well, allegedly.
Sure.
Not convicted of anything.
Wow.
But, look, if you're a wanted individual, you might want to lay low for a while. Like, I'm not advising anyone on how to commit a crime. But you might want to, you know, drive the speed limit. Be nice to people. Avoid confrontations in which the police might be called on you. Now I'm wondering, like, what on earth could have happened at a spa, at a casino resort in Southern California that got the cops called on this guy?
Because
it has to be more than just trying to cut in line.
No doubt. I mean, listen, you know? I go to a spa, Mike, I just want to relax, okay?
Right.
I just want peace and quiet.
I've got a joke here. We're not going to take it down that road.
No, it's not that kind of spa. It's a reputable spa.
Gotcha. Nice
These
massage.
These are the spas where they serve you, like, lavender tea.
Okay.
And they diffuse, you know, fancy essential oils and things like that. And they have all different kinds of, you know, shaving products. Like, this is a high-end spa.
By the
it's
way.
It's not one of those spas.
You guys, Whitey Bulger, you remember?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
stayed under
for like
30 years.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Right? And this guy can't. This guy can't even
couldn't make it a month.
Right.
No.
I mean, honestly.
No. He sounds like a really good guy. I mean, scamming his mother and acting up at the spa.
Right.
Sounds like a great guy.
Why ruin the spa for everyone else?
Resurgence Orthopedics brings you, in case you missed it, with Mike Conti. Hey, we're going to talk to or let you hear from Anthony Edwards, He was a five-star, by the way, Mike. Legitimate five-star. And why he chose UGA, it's on the way in our dog report.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.